power working in us is doing infinitely more than we could ask or even imagine. Amen. We need to put today's gospel into context, because if you look at your worship bulletin, we have Mark 6:30-34, 53-56. We're missing a chunk. Mark loves to tell a story within a story, like a sandwich. But today is part of a triple decker. The first piece of bread began 2 weeks ago when we heard that Jesus sent the 12 two by two with authority to teach and heal. And Jesus said, take nothing with you, only a staff, no money, no bag, no extra tunic. Then we have the next part of the sandwich, the filling of last week, which was the beheading of John the Baptist. The cost of discipleship is what last week's gospel gave us. Today we have part of the middle of a triple decker, then filling, and then another piece of bread. The middle of the triple decker today is the beginning of this gospel, which picks up from 2 weeks ago. Got it? So 2 weeks ago, Jesus sent out the 12 two by two. Today's gospel begins, the apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all they had done and taught. This passage, this section right here, ends, and then there's this gap. The gap is the feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus walks on water. We're going to hear that next week, but from the Gospel of John. So this week we have the apostles returning, and then when they had crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret. That's verse 53. So feeding of the 5,000, walking on water, and then verse 53, when they crossed over. So we have two boat scenes. That's a pretty busy Jesus in one gospel. Now, the apostles were sent out, but in the passage from 2 weeks ago, they were called the 12. These were people, these men, had responded to Jesus. He had invited them to be followers. They were not forced. They said yes. They became a part of a group. And there came a point in time when Jesus recognized, you know, it's time for them to share in my work. So he gathered the 12 and sent them out two by two and gave them authority. Today's gospel picks up with the apostles gathered around Jesus. We now have a title for these 12. This is the first time that those who follow Jesus have a title. In the Greek, apostles means to send. And that title means they have an office. And any kind of office or title has authority with it. Well, this kind of authority is from God. And here they had witnessed Jesus. All the time they had been with him, they had witnessed him teaching and healing. They had witnessed John, crowds following John the Baptist because he invited people to repent and change their heart. And now Jesus was saying, it's your turn. I'm going to send you out two by two. He didn't send them out alone. He sent them out with someone else so they could have an assurance that they were in this together as a community. So these apostles went out, and they went out not alone, but with a new shift within themselves. And the gospel calls it authority. We've received that authority through baptism. We're called to go out also. Now, when these apostles went out, they did heal, and they did cure, and they cast out demons, and they preached for the first time. So now we begin in this gospel with their return. And Jesus says to them, he wants to hear all that they had done and taught. I can't even imagine how excited, how in awe, how mystified they must have been with what God had done through them. Yes, they had seen John the Baptist, that he was an amazing preacher. Yes, they had heard Jesus. Thousands wanted to be near him. They had seen him heal, cure, cast out demons. And then they experienced it themselves. I can't even imagine what that first conversation must have been like. Oh, Jesus, you should have seen what I did. And they began to sense this Jesus asking to tell them more and more. But Jesus noticed something. They looked exhausted. And it says they hadn't even had the time to eat. So he said, let's go to a deserted place so you can rest. They get on a boat, go off, get off the boat. But it says, many saw them going and recognized them. It didn't. This gospel passage doesn't say they recognized him. They recognized them. That means the work the apostles had done was noticed. And people now wanted to hear what they had to say also and were attracted to them. Now, during the time that the apostles and Jesus were together, something very important was happening, probably even in that boat trip over to this deserted place that eventually had 5,000 people. That's the gap between this passage and the one that begins when they had crossed over, was this feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus walking on water. But during that one little solitary time of alone time, something happened that is our invitation too. They had experienced God using them. And Jesus wanted them to know that and to deepen in that sense that God gives us the ability to do what God calls us to do. So they spent time in reflection. Brief though it was, they spent time because Jesus asked, when was the last time you poured your heart out to Jesus and said, you should have seen what I did. I just gave this to this person who never asked. I reached out in love without being asked first, etc., etc. These different ways that we too are involved in the mission of Christ. In the process of sharing, in the process of reflecting, we can deepen and integrate and therefore grow in our capacity to be used by God. But it needs to be a choice and it needs to be intentional. We are not meant to be knee-jerk Christians. Action, reaction, action, reaction. We're called to be Christians who act, recognize God is working in us, ask God to deepen what God has begun, and continue to serve in ministry. Socrates said, an unreflected life is not worth living. As Christians, we really are called, especially after the busyness that all of us are involved in, to pause, to reflect, to sense how God is working within us. Another way of describing this, a word we can use, is discernment. How do we discern where the Spirit wants us to be, how the Spirit wants to use us? None of us are off the hook. It's because of baptism that God calls us, empowers us, and sends us out. And we're not going to recognize it unless we have those moments of pausing. What's begun this year in vestry meetings and staff meetings are intentional pauses. In the staff meetings, we've begun by reading the Gospel of Mark. And this passage today was a part of Mark. And we read it, share out loud what touched us, how it's relating to our life personally, and what we think God is asking of us. And this is what's going on now in the vestry also. Once a month, the entire vestry pauses, reads a passage of Scripture. How am I touched by it? How does this relate to my life? What is God asking of me? So this is a real invitation to integrate and be changed by the Spirit of God and to grow as a community. Part of this passage, though, indicates what the 21st century really includes. Sometimes we don't even have time to eat. And sometimes we're ready for an alone moment and the phone rings or someone knocks on the door. These apostles are ready for an alone moment. They get off the boat and there's a huge crowd waiting for them. I imagine the apostles were annoyed. They are hungry and tired, and Jesus promised them rest. But Jesus turns to the crowd and says he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. The Greek word for this kind of compassion is gut level. From the very bowels, Jesus responded. One time an interviewer asked Mother Teresa in her work in Calcutta, "You are always surrounded by the needy. Aren't you overwhelmed?" And she said, "No. I try to love one person at a time." That is how Jesus lived his ministry. Whoever was in front of him, that's who he responded to. Gets off the boat, a crowd's in front of him, he responded like a shepherd. The word shepherd is not a word we commonly use around Palos Verdes. So inside of each one of your bulletins, I've inserted Psalm 23, a paraphrased version. And I'd like us to re-look at Psalm 23 in language that we might find helpful for today. So instead of calling the Lord my shepherd, the Lord is my pace setter. Some of you might say the Lord is my pace maker. The Lord is my pace setter, I shall not rush. I can hardly go past this first sentence because I tend to rush. And once in a while, I say to myself, slow down. And when I make that choice to slow down, I do feel an energy shift. And that energy shift is an unexpected peace. Because I'm not rushing, I've now deliberately chosen to walk slowly. God makes me stop and rest for quiet intervals. And that is the hardest thing to find, I think, sometimes in our fast-paced society. Could our own heart become that desert place we go to find refreshment? God provides me with the images of stillness which restore my serenity. Can we take a deep breath and remember a moment on a vacation when we really felt that peace that passes understanding that was Jesus' promise? God leads me in ways of efficiency, which I'd like to add, thank God, Through calmness of mind and God's guidance is peace. In today's second reading from Ephesians, the word peace is mentioned several times. But one of the most important phrases from the second reading today is, Jesus is our peace. Even though I have a great many things to accomplish each day, I will not fret, for God's presence is here. God's timelessness, God's all-importance will keep me in balance. Sometimes we have to make choices. We might say, God, movie. Whatever the choice, once in a while, can we make a choice for God and break our rhythm? God prepares me for retirement, refreshment, and in the midst of activity, God anoints my mind with oils of tranquility. My cup of joyous energy overflows. There are so many gifts. In Isaiah, there is a passage, I am waiting to bless you. And here we hear that one of these blessings can be tranquility and a joyous energy, not a tired energy. Surely harmony and effectiveness shall be the fruit of my hours. For I shall walk in the peace of my Lord to dwell in God's house forever. This is a beautiful paraphrased version of Psalm 23. And yet, in reality, sometimes it's so hard to believe. When my family was dealing with my father's Alzheimer's disease, and he died about 9 years ago, I and my mom shared reading a book called The 36-Hour Day, because that's how we felt. That title was real. So here we hear this invitation to come away to a deserted place to rest a while. All of us need to intentionally listen. What is the Spirit saying to you personally for that desert place? Where will that be? Will it be in your heart? Will it be on a Sunday morning here? Maybe you come a few minutes early and just pause and pour out your heart to Jesus and tell him all that you've done, just like those apostles did. And the purpose of that is to integrate, to sense how God is using you, to deepen in the gifts God has given you, and then say to God, deepen and use me, deepen what you have begun. So today's gospel is a challenge, it's an invitation, it requires a choice. And at the heart of all this is this Jesus, who is our peace, who is a pace setter, and loves us and calls us and gifts us and wants to use us. Amen.